This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW for today. This morning, we'll be having a chat about clarity. Clarity. Many of us know that most of our endeavors in life are usually done under a cover of probability, most of them. The things that we are certain about, if we have a family, is that God expects us to take care of our family, take care of our children. All those comes clearly to us. But even the decisions as to which school do we put this child, which hospital do we use, which car do I buy, all of them come under a cloud of probability. In our daily endeavors, you want to leave the house, you want to take a journey. If the Lord did not tell you outrightly to travel, so that you know that, oh, I'm supposed to travel. Somebody just sent you a message, oh, I need you to come to New York now. I need you to come to Ibadan. I need you to come to Oshogbo. There's always that hair of probability. Should I go? Or will it be better for me to just stay back and maybe send the message or send money instead of going for this event? Must I be there? So oftentimes we do most of the things we do based on the probability of maybe it will work out or maybe it will not work out. There's no 100% clarity to anything. To anything. And oftentimes, when you are mopping up a man's life, when you look at somebody who has lived to be 100 or 90 after they had gone to be with the Lord, and you begin to read the stories of their trials and their failings in life, and you begin to mop up the story so that when you tell their story, you can lay emphasis on the things they did very right and they emphasize the mistakes they made. Again, you realize that many of the mistakes they made are the things that they did under probability. For example, Abraham. None of us would have believed that Abraham's journey to Egypt, the two times he went to Egypt, none of us would have believed that God didn't want him to go to Egypt. There was famine, and Abraham didn't bother asking God, what should I do? It was just did what every other person did. See, he didn't receive clarity. Just everybody was suffering from famine. And Egypt had a huge river that protects them from even the worst famine. We had River Nile, and River Nile had never dried up before. No matter how severe the famine may be, even till today, River Nile is the constant source of water for Egypt. Euphrates was the one. Yangtze is one for China. Euphrates is one for Babylon. There are certain nations that they have this strong source of water, which came naturally at that time, that helped them to defeat the strongest of famine, and Egypt was one of those. So whenever there will be a crisis, everybody runs to Egypt. Everybody ran to Egypt. And so it was the same thing that Abraham did. There was no clarity. He just did what others did at the time. Same thing with Lot. When Lot left Abraham, he didn't do it with clarity. He did it because it was the logical thing to do. The Bible recorded that he became so rich that his servants and labor servants were clashing. And there was a dispute, and he didn't want to be having a fight with his uncle. So he said, "Oh, let's part ways. Let's just choose the side and part ways." You look at it, you say, "Oh, this young man was just being logical." He didn't calculate that it was his association with Abraham that made him prosper. He felt if he struck out on his own, it will continue to prosper us. I've seen this happen many times with many pastors who God has detailed to be with somebody, and then they, without any clarity from God, based on human behavior, not God didn't tell them anything. Somebody offended them, maybe in a church, and then they're like, "No, I'm going to start my own church." And then they left, they started their own church, and then they began to suffer and struggle, and their ego wouldn't let them return. I had some who actually worked with me for a while, and they returned, even though they left. They left because of one reason or the other, human behavioral reasons. Maybe they had an offense with me, or maybe I overlooked something, or I didn't do something that they liked, or they felt slighted in a way, then they would leave. And later, they would then come back to say, "Oh, I made a mistake. I made a mistake." There was no clarity. Because if there was clarity, Abraham had clarity. When he left all of the charges, you can see the message of God came to him in Genesis chapter 12, and he said, "Leave your father's house, leave your mother's house." That was clarity. It was sure for him that as soon as he left, he was going to prosper. There was no argument. There was no dissenting voices. It wasn't as if he sat down and he said, "Let me leave my city now. Let me move to New York. Let me move to London. I want to travel abroad. All my mates are traveling. Let me travel." He didn't do it for the crowd or because it was what people were doing or because he was tired of Nigeria and he wanted to, everybody shouting, "Nigeria is not working, da, 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 da. I want to travel. If you go to America, you'll become rich in 3 months, in 6 months. And by this time next year, you'll be a billionaire." Oh, a lot of people travel abroad without clarity. And their story became difficult because of that. Yeah, because there was no clarity to their decision making. They just did it. Some people, their parents will be the one to push them. "Oh, we'll fight for you, we'll take you. Some people, they took them out of poverty into a prosperous nation. And that wasn't how God has designed them. That's why people like me, God designed me to bring people out of poverty through the message of the gospel. Poverty of the mind, poverty of the soul, and material poverty to teach the word of God in such a way that people can then take a hold of the word of God and be empowered by it so much that it will help their thinking, help their decision making, help them in business, help them in governance, help them in family, in marriage, help them as singles. And when that help comes, it's not because they are dependent on the pastor, it's not because the word of God has prevailed in them, has so mightily grown them that the word of God prevailed and then it gave them clarity of purpose to become successful in their endeavors. So if I move to a country where people are not struggling with poverty, you can guess what the problem there will be. A lot of people just ignore me. They'll just ignore me. They'll just say, "What is he talking about?" Why? Because they wouldn't be able to relate with the reality of the results that the gospel brings. So when I preach the gospel abroad, I adjust my message so strongly. Because to each continent I go, I tailor the message in such a way that they can see the reflection of Christ in the right way. If people cannot relate to your message, if it's just you are just preaching and they look at their life, it is not touching their life, they'll just walk away. So it has to be reflective of people's reality. And the things we are struggling with here in Africa, for example, the things we are struggling with are different from the things they are struggling with in Europe and in the UK, in America. They had mastered Sophia. They had mastered the art of taking prosperity from other nations to make themselves rich. That is their wisdom. So all of them, they have bases in Africa where they are collecting gold, silver, where they have colonized, and they have relationship with those ones, and they continue to try to master the resources of those nations. So that way, apart from the resources in their own countries, they also have resources coming in from other countries. So many of them are out of poverty, not because their countries are smart, but because their leaders, their forefathers, they had established a link to other nations that help them to siphon the resources of those nations. And the people in Africa mostly are the ones that suffer from those old relationships who are supposed to break out of it. So then there are one or two, I'm praying that it will be more African leaders who I have interactions with. And when they talk and I talk and I tell them, oh, this, da, and we talk about the resource control and the principles of wealth and the psychological effect it had on generations yet unborn, because their fathers were slaves, and so the children are most likely to think like slaves. And how to break the hold of that diplomatically without seeming to become enemies of the West like that. And we will have discussions like that, and it will then help to form policies. It will help to inform the decisions that will be made in order to take the country not only away from physical poverty, but from economic and generational poverty and poverty of the mind. It is always very rewarding to see that you can give clarity to leadership in such a manner that it can then help to inform policies. It can help to change certain decisions or certain behavioral patterns that the colonial masters embedded in our system. And that we also began to do those things to one another. There are no colonial masters. Now the masters we serve who are equally like us started behaving like the colonial masters. We say, no. This behavioral method is born of colonialism and tend to obey colonial reality. So we have to stop the behavioral pattern if we want the coming generation not to behave that way in order to form our own ideology as a nation. And so that is where clarity comes in. What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose? And the purpose here is, okay, I want to be a doctor. Why? There has to be clarity. Why am I married? Not because every other person is married. Why am I married? If I want to be single, why have I chosen to be single? There has to be clarity. Apostle Paul was clear about it. Jesus was clear about it. This is my purpose. Many people may not agree with it. It is not their purpose. It is not your purpose, is not a general consensus. The things you want to achieve with the word of God. It's not like a community will come and vote. What should GSW do with his life? Oh, yeah, let us vote. What, majority carries the vote. That's not how I'm going to live my life. Surely, I'm going to live my life to please the one that has called me. And it is going to be up to me to mark my own scripts at the end of my journey and tell myself, did I fulfill what was clearly told me to do? See, that is clarity. Because if you go to your parents, for example, if I go to my parents and I say to them, oh, this is what I wanted to be in the future, My father, for example, he kicked against me going into ministry. He didn't kick a little, he kicked strongly against me going into ministry. If he had always had a strong disdain for pastors and those who just collect people's tithes. So when he was young, he played around with a bit of socialism, Marxism, all the Eastern Europe ideologies. So it gave him a bit. He studied in Germany, so it gave him a bit of a liberal mind towards religion. My mom, on the other hand, got told that before I was born that I was going to be a minister of the gospel. So you see the problem there. My dad was putting me to the right. My mom was telling me, "You are going to be a minister of the gospel. This is the word of God concerning you." When I was pregnant with you, Baba Biara said that the child I'm going to have is going to serve God. I told God, that's why I named you Samuel. I named you Samuel because. So again, if you go to people, they have their ideas about what they want you to do with your life. If you ask some people's husband, they will say, "I want my wife to be this. I want my wife to be that. Ask your people's wife. I want my husband to be this. I want my husband to be that." Everybody wants other people to be something. But those people, even if they become that thing, doesn't mean that they are fulfilling the plan of God or the will of God for their lives. A man shouldn't live to please other men. A woman should not live to please other people. We must live to fulfill purpose. And purpose is individualistic. And without clarity, you can't fulfill purpose. There has to be a clear vision in your heart. This is the purpose of my life. And that purpose, for example, somebody woke up one day and said, "Oh, I want to have a purpose to industrialize Nigeria." Once you have clarity of purpose, it will help to streamline your thinking. Yeah, for example, a lot of people that are industrialists in Nigeria who are doing well, they've made money. They built maybe four stations or businesses. Suddenly you see them pivot and they say they are going into politics. It showed there was no clarity of purpose. Just woke up one day and said, "I'm going to invest in politics. I want to be governor." You look at them, you're like, "Why?" "Because other people are becoming governor. I want my name to be written as one of the leaders." No clarity. They just go into governance. No clarity. They leave their place of core competence. Then they go swim in the murky waters. And then they come out battered and bruised. And you wonder why. Because there was no clarity. And yet, some people may be also in the same business world and God will call them and tell them, "Go into politics," with clarity. And you will see how those also go into politics and they will do it. And after maybe 8 years of it or thereabouts, they will step out of it. They will go back to their primary custom. They will go back to their job. They will go back to their businesses. And they will continue to thrive because they had instructions as to what to do. There was clarity. You can't live your life bubbling through ideas. At age 40, you are buying visa lottery. You just want to travel out of Nigeria. At age 50, you want to live. And so people write to me and they tell me that I've been gapping with me. I'm trying to go to America. I say, at age 50 something, why? Why? Say, I just look at them. It will take you time to master this foreign country. And after that, there's no guarantee that you are going to be successful there. And you have no clarity. Zero clarity. You're just doing this thing because a door of opportunity opens. Is there every door of opportunity that one steps into? Like for real. So if an opportunity comes for you to abandon your business and travel abroad to start as an immigrant in a foreign land, you leave your business as it's thriving and you just go about to become an immigrant just like that. You think so a lot of people don't do things with clarity. They do not, they just They just, somebody will suggest something, they will jump at it. They do not have a clear vision of their own lives. Abraham had clarity. By the time he had gone to Egypt twice and he had come out of his kids, he stopped. When Isaac wanted to go to Egypt, he had clarity. God said, "No, don't go. Stay here. Swim in this land." And Isaac stayed. Every other person left. So there was no competition. He only had to feed himself and his family. And the Bible recorded that very year, he sowed and he reaped a hundredfold. For the first time, he broke the cycle of moving into Egypt. No clarity. And clarity. You must begin to develop the ability for clarity. You want to go into politics. Why? It is not because your mates are doing it. It's not because that is the logical next step. I basically dislike people who say, who think in terms of that would be the logical next step. There are so many things that one can do that will prosper us without going in just one direction because it is the logical next step. Right? There's something like that. So I like something like Okonjo-Iweala, for example. She could have run for governor in any of the states, and she most likely would have won. She had a strong popularity, and she had the base for it, and she had the money to spend, and she had spent some time in Nigerian politics to be able to become at least a governor in the state. But she had clarity. She didn't do that. There's also a lady, Kebi Adeosun, had clarity. She could have pushed to become a politician. She did a bit and walked away. But you have some people who don't have clarity. And because somebody has mentioned their name in the newspaper two or three times, they ought to be something they shouldn't be. And to realize that they are just bumbling through. There was no clarity of purpose. We must all endeavor to walk in clarity. If you have a clear vision, Jesus had a clear vision. So when the devil came to him, when the devil tempted him, you can see how easy it was for him to defeat that temptation. It was because there was clarity. It was because there was clarity. I got offered a job at Novotel in London some years back. They wanted me to work as their public relations officer on social media because I still have a very strong social media following, and I'm a strong influencer in a certain way. And so they wrote to me, and they offered me a lot of money in pounds, and they said they would provide the accommodation for me, for my family. I should come work for them. Novotel, Canary Wharf in London. And I started laughing. I couldn't take the job. Not even this one could have been taken. The offer was juicy, good offer, with a lot of pounds, and I still have the letter somewhere. They sent me a mail. They sent an agent to come speak with me. I listen to them so that I can use them to share testimony in church, so that I can use them to tell my senior pastor at the time that, see, they want to steal me. If you don't value me, I will leave you and go to London. Well, I couldn't, because it was clear what I was supposed to do with my life. It was clear. 2007, I knew. I had clarity about my purpose and vision in life. I'm saying the same to you. Seek clarity. At least once you have clarity, it will help you in decision making. You will know, should I do this? Oh, no, this does not fit into the purpose of God for me. You will know. Jeremiah was able to negotiate his way out of slavery because he had clarity. He was the one shouting that the whole of Israel would go into exile. When eventually the day they will go into exile came, Bible said Nebuchadnezzar called them and said, "Oh, you are the prophet that has been saying that this day will come. Okay, the day has come. What do you want?" And Jeremiah said, "I don't want to go into exile." And they left him. It's in the Bible. The man said, "Don't touch him, leave him alone. He's the prophet. Don't touch him." He got immunity immediately. Why? Because of clarity. Because there was clarity. When you have clarity of purpose, you know what to do. And you know how to do it. And you know what not to do. You know, when an opportunity comes, you will not jump at this one. And then another one will come, you jump at that one. And every opportunity you jump at it, a friend will come to suggest something. Oh, let's do this business. You know that it is not, you carry all your money, you put it there, because there's no clarity. When there is no clarity, other people can easily dictate purpose to you, suggest stuff to you, tell you, come and date my friend. You know, you are single, you are trusting God to have a husband or a wife. That should be clarity. What sort of woman do I want to marry? What sort of man do I want to marry? And you should be dead on it. Not that somebody will then come into your life who is the opposite of that person, but you say, "I'm desperate. I'm already in my late 20s or early 30s or late 30s. Anybody that comes now, I'll just jump into it." No, that has to be clarity. Well, this is the kind of person that I want to be with. And if you meet somebody, you are talking to the person, and you notice that that person does not fit into that clear vision, you will walk away. You will not say, "Oh, people have seen us together. People don't care. People just want you to, they just want to gossip about you," and because their life is not good. People's lives are terrible. They talk about other people. "My life is good. I don't care. I don't care what you are doing with your life. That's the truth. I have a good life. So what you are doing with your life, if you don't bring it to me, I will never talk about you. I do not like talking about people. People are not that important. God is important. My purpose is important. But when people are talking about you, their life is terrible." That's just it. When somebody's life is not interesting, then they take other people and they talk about them all the time. Their life is empty. A full life does not have the space to take on other people's vision. And if you allow people that their life is empty to dictate how you take your decision, you are not a very smart person. You see, you have to be smart. You have to know that it is one of the, when you have clarity, oh, come on, you know where you are going. So you make your decision based on that because you have clarity. You must have a full life. A clear mind has a full life. It's a rich life. So your mind will say, "Oh, I saw somebody, I want to say, no, that's not the person. Listen to him, no, that's not the person." When the person comes, "Mommy, this is the person. How did you know?" I have clarity. I've looked at my own life and I've, in my heart and prayer and in my consideration, decided this is the kind of person that fits me, that I can live with, that will give my heart joy. I do not want to just settle for any Tom, Dick, or Harry. This is the kind of person with this kind of attitude, kind of behavior. Either the person is rich or not so rich, it's not a problem, it's not the issue. Can I live with this person? Do I have clarity? Do I know myself? And then, do I know who fits into my kind of nature? Once you have that kind of clarity, moving into a marriage wouldn't be a problem. A lot of people get into, they marry who they don't like. They know they don't like the person, and then they will marry the person all the same. They will say, "It's just feeling, we go and adjust there." And then they have a miserable life. That's terrible. Why would you do that to yourself? Some people will take up a job that they have no idea what the job is about. I've seen this several times. Then they get to the job, they begin to struggle. There's no clarity. Why can't you do something you are so good at that you are going to be a master in your place of work? But the salary is good. They get the letter, they sign the letter. Then they'll come to me and think, "I have no idea about this job." I say, "Hey, you took a job, but you have no idea what to do." Ha! Of course, they don't last at the job. I can name four or five people, even within years of my dad did that. We did 6 months, the art of the job. Because you took on a job that you have no clarity, you have no clear vision. You just took a letter of employment and signed. And then you get to the job, you begin to struggle. If they say, "I should come and teach physics or chemistry in one school now," if I take the job, all of you will beat me. You say, "But you have to say you want to teach physics. You want to teach physics." Physics. He's like, all of you should just come and beat me. Like, this guy, you are not serious. Why are you taking up this kind of a job, right? Because not all roads are meant for you. A man with clarity, one with clarity, will walk in the path that has been created and paved for him or her. So it's my prayer for you today that you receive clarity. That's where your path has become confusing, that the fog will clear. In your heart, you receive a full and clear direction. This is where my life is going. This is the path I will follow. This is the future that I see. And this is the life that I will live. It will be so clear. Nobody will be able to persuade you away from it. Nobody will be able to push you to the right or to the left. You will just know this is my purpose. And you will walk in it and you will prosper. It is my desire. It is my prayer. It is my conviction about your destiny. You will walk in clarity and you will fulfill destiny. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory!
Glory,
Glory to
glory.
God! Glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Work moves fast. From emails and reports to proposals and updates, you're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place. Or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com. That's grammarly.com.